Tegan.
Spike.
Bees.
Bees.
Gold team.
Rules.
So we got to the bottom of that one.
Yeah. Oh, I feel silly.
Yeah. So Bees is one of Huge's teams, which is also known as Gold Team.
Rules.
Yeah, Bees is one of their lighter weight robots. Sort of a kind of a bumblebee looking axe backwards type.
Yeah, thing. I like the.
It's not a spinning drum, but it is definitely sort of a drum looking design with some really long, spindly fork grabbers down the front. I like it.
Yeah, no, me too.
It's a cool robot.
Who helped us figure that one out?
Oh, yeah. So, Kyle from Behind the Bots, amazing podcast, doing some awesome interviews out there with all the builders. Let us in on that inside scoop, because we had no idea.
Oh, we were... It's really hard sometimes when you're on a different continent and you feel like you miss out on all the little inside scoops.
Yeah, but we can get the inside scoops from down under at some point.
At some point.
But yeah, Behind the Bots, if you haven't heard of it, go check it out. Another great robot podcast about battle bots. They actually give you some information about robots around the world at the end of every episode. It's pretty cool.
That's a pretty good podcast.
You know, maybe we should do something like that eventually.
Well, maybe. I don't know. What do you mean?
We're brainstorming our own ideas here.
Yeah. No, we'll figure it out. This season of BattleBots is going to be wrapping up pretty soon. So we'll figure out what we're going to do after that.
It's been an exciting adventure.
Yeah.
So we're a bit late to this episode. Tegan and I both needed mental health days.
Yeah, look... There's a lot of stigma around mental health, and I feel like it's important for us to let everybody know that we just needed to take some time.
Yeah, it's a free podcast, and we're doing this out of our own pockets and our own time, and sometimes need a little break, so that's why we're a couple days late, but we're back on track now.
Yeah.
And yeah, you know, I might leave some links in the show notes to some resources. If you're not feeling 100%, you need some extra help, you know, there are people out there that you can talk to. You're never truly on your own. Please reach out if you need it.
Yeah, absolutely. I feel like it's important to talk about it, and I feel like it's something that everybody has something going on. It's just a matter of the severity at that point in time. No one is ever at 100%.
No man is an island, and no robot is indestructible.
Yes.
And this is what we have learned on BattleBots.
Yeah. I have a question for you, Spike.
Okay, shoot.
What were your childhood dreams, and was it watching robots destroy each other?
I mean, my childhood dream... I think, like, one of my earliest memories of, like, dreaming as a child was, like, I was doing a big drawing of, like, a space fighter. So, and it was, like, kind of a blueprint where I drew the, like, silhouette of the space fighter, and then I drew sort of a cutaway of all of the, like, engine, and, like, it was probably just crayon, right? So, I was probably just drawing boxes and squiggles and being like, it's a plasma photon driver. Not that I knew those words as a child, but...
Actually, I would not be shocked if I found out that they were some of your first words.
If I find this drawing and it's, like, fully labeled, it's like, wow, how did you know what titanium was? But, so I guess, you know, building spaceships, pretty close.
That's pretty close to robots fighting each other.
I mean, I still like drawing spaceships, so we're pretty much there.
Yeah, no, all right, that's a pretty solid childhood dream of spaceships.
What was your favourite childhood dreams?
My favorite childhood dreams.
Yes.
Honestly, I wanted to be like a sci-fi author.
Oh.
But then promptly realized that I don't know how to read very good. I can't spell, and writing is not my forte.
Well, look, I think there's still time in that, though, because you have some very cool sci-fi ideas.
Well, thank you. Maybe we can collaborate on a novel and you can build all my spaceships.
Yeah, that sounds good to me.
I don't think I'll ever be an actual author. I don't have the...
I don't know. Put it out there.
Look, it's on a podcast now.
It's on a podcast now. Podcast, one step away. What do we have before books? No.
What?
I think it might have gone the other way, but Yeah, you could do a sci-fi podcast now.
Yeah, no, that's a good idea. Okay, well, I'm going to put that in the bank, and we'll now carry on from this conversation.
Okay. So, yeah, big episode.
Yeah, this was a lot of deciding factors in this episode.
The final of the qualifying rounds.
Are you sure?
I'm confirmed. They said, I heard Chris say on it, this was the last episode of the qualifying rounds, or that the final match between Black Dragon and Copperhead was the final match of the qualifying rounds.
Oh, okay, well. I missed that, so thanks.
There you go. I think it was pretty clear. They were sort of saying their last goodbyes in a lot of ways to a lot of the teams that we may not be seeing again.
That we didn't even see.
Yeah, Deadlift, where were you at? And Rampage as well.
Yeah, and Black Widow.
And Black Widow, although I did see that one fight that was sort of pre the season.
Yeah, but it wasn't like on the show.
Yeah, no.
So, I'm disappointed that we didn't get to see Deadlift, Rampage, or Black Widow.
Not enough silly string.
No! I was so excited for the silly string. I wanted to see that.
Look, we'll just have to make our own robot that shoots silly string.
Yeah. Yes, let's do that.
I'll tell you what. It is very flammable. And that could be a way around the rules. I'm just putting it out there.
Okay.
Is you maybe, you know, create enough sparks after you shoot enough silly string and could do some damage.
Spike, I like where your head's at. I'm picking up what you're putting down.
You're picking it up?
I've picked it up off the ground.
You're very strong.
Extremely strong. I reckon I could deadlift more than the team of deadlift.
I think... They're not ready for the challenge.
It's out there now.
It's an official challenge. You hear that, Deadlift? Yeah. Tegan's coming for you.
I'm going to get you.
All right. So who do we see fight? Should we talk about this episode?
Yeah, let's get into it.
All right.
First match, cab off the rank, Shatter versus Captain Shredderator.
Oh, yeah.
This was a pretty...
trying to quietly turn pages here.
Sorry.
No, do tell. Don't let me interrupt you.
I enjoyed this fight, honestly. I feel like Shatter coming out, they don't look very pretty anymore. They've lost all of their pretty...
I miss it. I don't think you had to worry about people, you know, thinking that was damage. If you thought that was damage, like, what are you watching? Like, have you seen robots fight? Little bits of vinyl is not damage.
Yeah, but at the same time, I feel like he's like, I'm not taking any chances. Yeah,
I understand that. He was kind of like, the cards were down. He needed the win.
Yeah, but I miss the pretty vinyl.
Yeah, I miss the pretty vinyl. Please bring it back.
Yeah, if you never come back with the pretty vinyl, I'm going to be sad.
I'm sure he will. I think he just needed to demonstrate, and demonstrate he did.
Yeah. And then Captain Shredderator came out, and they looked the same as ever. They've never really changed the way that they look, so...
I like how battle-worn Captain Shredderator looked when they came out.
Looks like it's seen some shit.
It's seen some days, but I'll tell you what, it is driving great. Yeah, unfortunately, they pushed it a little too far again. We saw that armor of Shatter working excellently as it was intended. It looked like Captain Shred was trying to get around the sides, which would have been what they needed to win this fight, but Shatter did a really good job in their driving.
Well, Shatter's got those Omni Wheels, so they can just turn with...
Yeah, they can sort of glide around
front. It makes it quite hard for you to be able to get around to the side of them to grab one of those side hits.
Certainly. It looked like they got a few corner hits on them, and that might have done some damage. Definitely lost some pieces.
Oh, yeah, you could see that they were losing chunks.
What was incredible to me is, like, how beat up that front armor plate of Shatter already is when they came in.
Yeah, and then seeing it later in the episode after the fact that they did their fight, and you can see the giant gouges in it.
Yeah, Shatter got some lethal blows in and ended up getting them in the corner with the pulverizer hammer laying into them as well.
Oh, the pulverizer hammer with their hammer... I felt bad for Captain Shredder.
This was Blacksmith's dream, really.
Yeah, right?
This reminds me of the people in the blacksmith workshop where somebody does the little hit and the blacksmith does the little hit and then just your worker guy with the sledgehammer follows with the big hit.
Yeah. Does that very nice rhythmical...
Yeah, ting, rhythmical.
Ting, ting, ting. Yeah, that was not rhythmical at all, but you all know what I mean. I sure hope...
I'm sure somebody does. Yeah, I think Shatter, they got some really good hits in. It's obviously something that I think they could work on, maybe. It's probably a really hard thing to design for, is how to have that hammer stop and not bounce up so much on the pullback.
Because then they lose a lot of force behind that hammer when it's like, not fully reset.
Yeah, it seems like their best hits were when it was fully reset.
Yeah. I will say, though, Captain Shredderator, they got some amazing hits in at the beginning of the match. They were hitting really heavy. And it was good to see. I was stoked.
There's so much force in that shell, that full body shell, when it gets up to speed. And it just goes and goes.
Oh, I need to bring it up, though. I'm so sorry. I really need to bring it up. The spin to lose buddy.
This was a good quip.
Yeah, I very much enjoyed this. I was spin to win. I'm like, I love the catchphrase. I'm so happy when teams have a catchphrase that they can use.
Yeah.
But then spin to lose, buddy. Spin I was like,
to lose.
You're going to get punched in the mouth.
No, I'm sure they loved it. It looked like Brian Narve respected that one.
No, I will say Brian Narve, he seems like a very joyful man to be around.
He does.
He does seem to have like this, I don't know, like this personality where it's like, I reckon he would have fun little quips and conversations with you. That's the vibe that I'm getting off Brian Narve lately.
Yeah, for sure. He seems very jovial.
Yeah, very jovial.
It's hard to kind of get a sense of people's personality just through TV, which is why we should probably reach out and interview some more people when we have time. But yeah, he seems like a good guy. But I'll tell you what, the most amazing thing in this whole match for me was just seeing Adam Wrigley's hair.
Oh my god, so it's just long. It just has long hair.
It was very lush.
I mean, that's true. It was very lush. I wish to see it when it hasn't been up in a bun all day.
Yeah.
I feel like it would look spectacular.
Chef, I think our friend Lachlan definitely has the longer hair.
Oh, yeah.
And we should start putting his hair up in a bun.
He's more of a ponytail kind of guy.
Okay. Look, we're getting off track.
No, but he has started wearing headbands, though.
Oh.
So maybe he was inspired by Adam Wrigley.
Well, power to you, Lachlan.
Yeah. Power to you, Adam.
Power to our long-haired brethren.
Yeah, but in the end, Shatter's patience really paid off. Like, they just were waiting.
They're all about the strategy. I appreciated that he said his last fight strategy was wrong, which I have to agree with. Maybe throwing your hammer into Malice's big weapon, not the best move.
Never made any sense.
I mean, it was a hard fight, but yeah, you're onto it now. Yeah. Well done.
I did appreciate at the end, though, when time was called and Brian Narve turned around, he's like, why does it always do that? Talking about Captain Shredderator smoking.
Yeah.
And they did really well in their previous fight, and I was hoping to see the same this one, but they just went back to same old Captain Shredderator.
Yeah, look, I changed my personal pick right at the last minute to Captain Shredderator. I was thinking Shatter was going to win this the whole time because their armor is so great, but I just thought Captain Shredderator has been doing so well. And halfway through the match, I was thinking, you know, you gotta slow it down. You gotta just ease off for a little bit.
Yeah.
But I guess he would have started taking hits, which would have been terrible. So it was a hard pickle for him. And he was just pushing the robot to go as hard as it could. And it couldn't quite make it.
No. I was stoked to see Shatter actually puncture through the top armor of Captain Shredderator. It was a good match. It was entertaining to watch.
I'll tell you what, this next match was also super entertaining.
Oh yeah, this is true.
Gigabyte versus Claw Viper.
Yeah.
And Max Maxim, I don't know if he was necessarily driving or just doing the spin up, but yeah, definitely Matt Maxim on the driving was good improvement.
Yeah, it was fun to see another member come forward. I mean, he's a new member of Gigabyte, but a member of Gigabyte nonetheless, and be like, yo, what up? I'm really good at this sport.
Yeah. He certainly knows what he's looking at when it's going off in the box. And yeah, he can read a fight. And Gigabyte, just a flawless performance here. Really made me laugh when Claw Viper went for the box rush and Gigabyte just didn't choose to spin up immediately. And
no, just slowly moved out of the way.
Yeah, just slowly moved out of the way and Claw Viper just rammed into the wall. I was like, that really made them look silly.
Yeah, I did appreciate that. I need to talk about, before we get into the rest of the match.
Okay.
The goth kid in Gigabyte's team.
Oh, true.
I saw her when they were walking out and I was like, whoa, check out that chick's makeup. That's sick. She's got like pink kind of smoky eyeshadow and she's like kind of pale. So I just kind of assume gothy because that's what I'm going to assume.
My read was that they have the sort of skull logo with the flames and maybe that was like, you know, emulating their logo as a mascot.
I mean, maybe, but
I'm going to call her Skull Kid.
You're going to call her Skull Kid?
Yeah.
I'm going to call her Goth Kid just because she didn't have any teeth or the makeup wasn't black. It was pink.
And we're certain it wasn't just a Juggalo has infiltrated Team Gigabyte, which is fine.
Yes, I'm going to stay away from Juggalos. I'm not going to comment on Juggalos.
I would really like to see like a whole Juggalo team enter BattleBots next year. If you're a Juggalo out there and you know how to build robots, please apply it to BattleBots.
Please, please. I would actually love that.
That would be amazing. It would be like, what would their robot be called? Insane Robot Clown?
No. Insane Robot Posse? That'd be the team name.
And their slogan would just be magnets. How do they work?
Yes! Oh, they'd have to have a hammer bot and then they have to have magnets on the bottom of them like a beater. Oh, I would love that.
There's so much scope for you.
No, their bot would be called the Hatchet Man and their hammer would be a hatchet.
See, you know more about Juggalos than me. That's what this has proven.
Juggalos are a
okay, so well, yeah, what if you don't know what a Juggalo is? What if you've never heard of this?
And I have to describe what a Juggalo is.
You have to describe.
Okay, so a Juggalo is a fan of the rap duo. I'm pretty sure it's just a rap duo. I'm going to call
it. I think it's a trio.
Anyway, but it's called Insane Clown Posse, ICP.
ICP.
And they wear clown makeup and their fans wear clown makeup. And they're called Juggalos and Juggalettes. And I will say the FBI have labeled them as a gang. So that's what we're talking about right now. I don't think they are. They call each other family and they just get together and have these ridiculous parties. And they're like mascot, I guess. Mascot, for lack of a better word, is the Hatchet Man. I don't know. Juggalos are just
like...
What is
the Hatchet Man?
You've never seen the Hatchet Man?
I don't think I have.
Oh, it's like a little silhouette of like a guy and he's got a really big head and he's like running and he's holding a big hatchet.
Okay, I'll find a picture for this and if it's appropriate, I'll put it in the show notes.
I mean, go for it. Just Google what Juggalos are. Juggalos, Juggalettes. They have... What's the name of their gatherings called?
No, we've talked about this for far too long.
Yeah, you're probably right. Sorry. Anyway, but this kid, I like your style. Keep it up. You look fresh as hell.
Yeah, I was into it. Good job, Gigabyte Kid.
Okay, so now I'm just...
Now we've got to talk about the fight.
Now I've got to talk about the fight.
So Gigabyte absolutely dominated this one, you know, put a couple early shots into Claw Viper and then that left side drive was just destroyed basically.
Yeah, ripped from the seam but stuck on through the armor. It was interesting to see. I did appreciate that they didn't spin up straight away. That felt like a really odd but purposefully made choice to kind of like get away from Claw Viper because they know Claw Viper can drive crazy fast.
A little bit risky because that really gave Claw Viper an opening, which they missed, but if they'd have latched on straight away, that would have hindered them spinning up.
Oh, yeah.
Gigabyte, though, looking like a strong contender in the bracket of 32. They will definitely make it. I don't think there's too much more to say about this match. It was amazing to watch Gigabyte pop up 4 feet in the air and land.
Oh, yeah, I will say that was an excellent hit from Claw Viper. I mean, it wasn't really a hit because I don't have a weapon that hits, but they managed to make Gigabyte fly in the air, and that was incredible.
Yeah, still some decent driving, but taking those side hits from a huge full-body spinner like that, that's going to do it to you.
Yeah, and whoever is in charge of the hammers in the Gigabyte team did such a good job. They got the perfect hit in, like, There was, like, barely an opening.
Look, if I was manning the hammer, you know, as soon as somebody goes... I mean, I hear there's a bit of lag on them, but as soon as somebody comes in, like, you're not going to miss your opportunity to hit a robot with a stupid hammer.
Right?
I would be so onto it. So, I did love to see that right at the end. Claw Viper took one from the pulverizers.
Yeah. But, yeah, so in the end, this match was pretty gigabyte heavy. Good work, Claw Viper. We hope to see you back, but... unfortunately, you drove like ass.
Yeah, their words, not ours.
Yeah, their words, not ours.
All right, Chomp versus Hijinx.
Yeah, Chomp versus Hijinx.
Oh, you hate to see it.
I know, but you love to see it at the same time.
You do love to see it at the same time. Somebody had to.
Yeah.
So an undercutter versus the many-legged bot. This was always going to be a tough matchup. Yeah, Jen Herkenreuter fighting one of her absolute idols.
Yeah, in Zoe. I found it so interesting to find out that Chomp only has 3 minutes of walking time in their air. So they can walk for a whole match, but if they push it too far and try and take too many steps, then that just eats away some of the air. So they have to be super strategic with how they move.
I did wonder whether... I think they have extra air tanks. I don't think that is linked to the air tanks that fire their hammer. I assume that would be in the top half of the robot and a different supply.
Yeah.
But yeah, it is interesting that they only have the 3 minutes. That was cool to find out.
Yeah.
We saw before this fight, we should just touch on quickly. So Chomp had an untelevised fight with Ghost Raptor. Be interesting to see that.
Yeah. Sounded like... Ghost Raptor didn't really do that much damage and Chomp just kind of stopped working.
I think Ghost Raptor is just a design that is asking a lot this year and, yeah, Chuck just needs to work out the kinks and rework it for next year. And I think he's got the plan.
I believe. I have full faith.
I have full faith too. Hijinx also had an untelevised fight and they got a KO against Tracer. Do we suspect that Tracer got maybe knocked upside down? I'm not sure.
Pretty likely, honestly.
But yeah, Hijinx is a powerful undercutter that is proving itself by cutting through the field here.
Yeah, so they put some extra plates on top of their robot, some vibration dampening plates.
They were lucky. I think it was a really small target for Chomp to try and hit. They almost got the hit in, but unfortunately their hammer swung too far over and got caught in the back half of Hijinx blades and got bent out of shape.
Yeah. Look, if there's one thing we know about Chomp, though, is that they are very good at firing that hammer precisely.
Oh, yeah.
Herkenreuter called them the Bite Force Killer, and this is the Bite Force Killer on steroids.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see Chomp back next year if they keep this design and push it further. I would like to see the next iteration, maybe some more armor.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not sure what you can improve exactly. It's such a complicated thing, I can't make any comment as an, you know, amateur armchair engineer.
Yes.
But, yeah, it's a beautiful piece of machinery.
Yeah, but this undercutter on Hijinx we saw was super effective against their skirt of armor. Really was able to slice underneath that and chop up some of those wheels. Legs.
Now, if it had six wheels, maybe that would be a different story.
My whole brain just went, what?
Watching these legs get destroyed, though, it was honestly things that are sort of... you know, humanoid or more animal in nature or something. Just something about the fact that it has legs with joints. Watching those get destroyed made me a bit go, ooh, it's quite disturbing.
No, it was like watching, like, a human's joints get...
like little fingers.
Yes.
They're like little fingers. And I'm like, oh, fingers shouldn't bend that way.
You're too right, actually. I will say, though, they did manage to get one pretty solid hit on the very top of Hijinx.
Oh, did they? Hit. Okay.
Yeah, so... I don't recall when in the match, but I do remember seeing it.
Yeah.
But yeah, their hammer did then get hit and bent out of shape. So this one went to Hijinx.
I'll tell you what, cute celebrations.
Oh my god. What a fun team this is, seriously.
Such a fun team.
Not only do they have... I will say it every single time. They look amazing. I love all of the clothes. I want a Hijinx shirt very bad. But they just seem so wholesome and just so genuinely enthused every single time they win.
They bring great team energy. You know, I think it would be... It's easy to compare them to Valkyrie as another undercutter team, but just in team spirit, they really remind me of Valkyrie as well.
Yeah, absolutely. You know?
Yeah, one of my new favorite teams, Team Hijinx for sure.
So I went and I looked up the one of the sponsors for Chomp.
Oh, which one?
How the quest was won.
Oh, yeah.
Because I was very curious, because it sounds like my kind of thing.
I also love that they're sponsored by a daycare.
Yes, that's also great, but makes sense, because Zoe just had a kid, so maybe she'll put her baby in this daycare while she competes next year.
Nice.
She's really thinking in the future, this lady.
This is it.
So I looked up how the quest was won, and I found out that... The title of this used to be an Australian TV show.
Oh.
It was like on ABC back in like the early 2000s.
Yeah, right. It does actually sound familiar.
Yeah, so it was just like a bunch of people would go out and do these quests, but it was like just to find out how it feels to live in somebody else's shoes.
Oh.
So they like explored homelessness and they explored being a senior citizen and how they're treated, and I was like, what? But they're not actually sponsored by this old Australian TV show. They're sponsored by a D&D podcast.
That's how the quest was won.
Yeah.
And so is the D&D podcast based it on the Australian TV show?
No, I don't think so. I don't think they're related at all.
Okay.
But I just found out that it was...
Just fun trivia that you're sharing.
Just fun trivia that I'm sharing.
Well, that's fun. Shout out to How the Quest Was Run. We love a good D&D podcast.
Oh, yeah. So I'm excited. I'm going to give him a listen, I think.
What's your other favorite D&D podcast?
I love The Adventure Zone.
I mean, so many people do.
You can't go wrong. Those McElroy brothers know what they're doing.
It's a good time.
So, the next fight I was particularly excited and nervous for was Witch Doctor versus Slammo.
Yeah, were they going to get a weapon together?
I'm so proud of the BattleBots community in moments like this.
This is what it's all about.
This is seriously, like, how incredible that everyone would help out last year's second place robot.
So, it was, I think, Al Kindle of Team Blacksmith was able to source them an AR-400 drop forged plate, a massive one at that.
Huge one.
So big that they needed to borrow Sporkinok's truck to get it there.
Yes, and then they couldn't, by the time they got there, they couldn't get a water jet place to help them out, but... Of course, Team Chomp just have one at their station.
Because, you know, you'll bring a water jet to the pits. Like, this is what shocked me the most.
Yeah.
Like, okay, CNC stuff, yeah, you know, lathes, welding, whatever. But a water jet? You brought a water jet?
I mean, but look at Chomp.
How big is Chomp's pit area? I want to know.
I reckon if you bring a 500-pound walking bot, you get double the space.
Yeah, you get double the space, right?
Because you've got double the bot.
Double the bot. That makes sense. But yeah, of course they have a water jet. Okay.
Yeah, so they helped out. And it was so weird to see Witch Doctor have a weapon with no paint job and just have it say, thanks, Chomp, on it.
Oh, I didn't see that it said, thanks, Chomp.
Yeah, they wrote, thanks, Chomp, like on the... not on, like, the flat side, but on, like, the where the...
Was it, like, engraved or just Sharpie?
No, it's just Sharpied on.
Yeah, right. Well, yeah, that was really nice. I actually really enjoyed how plain the weapon looked compared to the rest of Witch Doctor, which Witch Doctor's been in some scraps, but it's still a great-looking robot.
Oh, yeah, one of the best-looking robots. But, yeah, it was very... the juxtaposition was incredible.
The juxtaposition was great. It made it look even more lethal.
Yeah.
You know? It was like, here's this fresh steel.
Yeah, so it's a softer steel that they're using. Still pretty hard, though. So they're just going to need to sharpen it in between each match.
Went the distance. It was great to see Witch Doctor go in the distance with no smoke as well. I feel like they've got the machine on the inside really dialed in at this point.
Oh, yeah. They just need to fix that weapon. And they did it in the nick of time.
Yeah. I think the hardest part of this fight for Witch Doctor was maybe the driving. I think maybe Michael Glatley's lost a bit of confidence after those last few fights.
Yeah, I completely agree. I feel like they definitely weren't driving nearly as good as I know that they can.
I think he was still driving amazing. I was just, you know, it's hard to say what you're seeing is true, but if what you're seeing is what you think, but...
What? Hang on. No, Spike. I need us to just go back and just talk about if what we see is what we think.
It's hard to talk on a podcast sometimes, Tegan. What I'm trying to get across is that I think Michael Gallatly was second-guessing himself.
No, I completely understand what you mean. Yeah, I feel like they really just
like I do.
Yes, exactly. Everyone second-guesses themselves. yeah, they just like... So, let's talk about Slammo, sorry. We have to talk about Slammo for a second. We do. Because they put up one hell of a fight against Witch Doctor. I was honestly worried for Witch Doctor at the beginning.
It was really, really resilient. And it is such a... I really like Slammo. I want to see this robot back next year because it's a unique lifting design. It's like all of the machinery is tucked in the back and it has so much power to lift. And they have different configurations.
Suplex City, baby!
It's Suplex City!
Unfortunately, we didn't get to see a suplex.
Yeah, it would have been good to see Witch Doctor get suplexed.
I would have loved that.
I mean, we know they can pop right back over. Honestly, one of the best self-riders in the competition.
Yeah. I love a robot like Slammo where it has, like, multiple points of articulation in their grappling system.
Yeah.
Like, I love it when robots can do that, where they're like, yeah, my hooks can come down and then my front wedge can pick it up at the same time and I can do those independently. And I just really love that in a robot. So seeing Slammo, I was excited because I love their, like, grappling design.
Yeah.
And that super long wedge at the front. That seemed super effective against Witch Doctor.
Definitely. It came apart sort of when he was game enough to put his weapon, his sort of two grappling hooks down into Witch Doctor. And yeah, once you've got force like that imparted into your robot, it's going to do bad stuff.
Yeah.
And it seemed like they were having they're on the back foot at that point.
Yeah, but at the beginning, I feel like Witch Doctor was having a hard time getting up near them. They were just like kind of grinding down.
They weren't quite getting the hits they wanted. It wasn't until later in the match that they started to get the big side hits and take out the drivetrain.
Yeah, but I will say, Slammo, you put up one hell of a fight against Witch Doctor.
It was rolling around to the very last, you know, maybe in circles, but still rolling.
I found it very amusing, though, when Witch Doctor were lining up for the kill shot. And Slammo was kind of like crab walking in circles situation.
Yeah.
And they just completely whiffed it, missed and rammed into the wall.
Yeah, there was a few of these. They were like carrying them along the box and then just sort of, you know, missed the final slam and sort of went to the right and hit the wall. And yeah, and that final shot as well. I mean, he admitted, he was like, that was stupid.
Yeah. But
look, you got the win. It's all in the past.
Yeah, but I suppose the real question is now, do you think that both of these teams are going to make it into the bracket?
I do think both these teams are going to make it into the bracket. I think we will see Slammo.
Yeah, I really hope that we do because I love that bot.
I think they'll throw Craig Bone. I think he puts on an entertaining fight. You love to see the suplex. It's Chris's favorite move.
You can really tell that it's Chris's favorite move.
You can hear it in his voice. He gets excited when the robots pick up the other robots and throw them on the ground.
It's amazing.
It's amazing. It's what we're all here for. Honestly, more suplex robots, please.
Yeah. All right, speaking of suplexes, should we move on to the next fight?
Yeah, there was some unexpected suplexing in this next fight. We had Gruff versus Extinguisher.
Yeah, and this whole fight was unexpected. Okay, so Gruff is the flame bot. Extinguisher looks like a fire engine but doesn't have an extinguisher on board.
No, I was mistaken. I keep telling fibs on the podcast.
Yeah,
I'm sorry.
Fibbing to the people.
Yeah, look, we should have put that into the pits.
Oh, look, we're here.
But we're here now. The pits were too far away. We needed train tickets today and I'm all out of money.
What? Sorry, what does that mean?
You know all of this already. I don't have to tell you, but yeah, no extinguisher on extinguisher, no fire extinguisher on extinguisher.
They did have a vertical spinner this time round.
They did have a little Dalmatian vertical spinner, which is
Dalmatian
very exciting.
Spinner.
They said it looked like an anime
puppy,
which I'll have to look into that.
I do like Extinguisher, the team. They have, like, this kind of childlike wonder about the robots, I feel. They always seem to be very at awe of the fact that they're at BattleBots, still kind of not sure how to be still, because I think they're not used to it yet.
Yeah, I think John Flack is, you know, he's going to be an amazing robot builder. He built his first heavyweight robot at 12.
That's pretty cool.
That's incredible.
It's only 1 year after Tyler.
I mean, true. That's a pretty high bar to meet there. Yeah, I'm enjoying Extinguisher. I want to see them back. I think he's only going to bring more and more better things. It was great to see them get a win in this match.
Yeah, so...
How did we see this go down?
Extinguisher ended up winning. Gruff...
They burnt out their drive.
They need... I was so rooting for Gruff to win this one.
Yeah, I was too. I love Gruff. I wish that they sort of used the fire a bit more. I think their ignition system probably needs some work.
Yeah.
It's a very high pressure flame, so I imagine it's hard to get ignited.
Yeah, their ignition systems... I got it out. They never seem to be super reliant. They never, like, you can see that the propellant's going, but there's no flame. It's just the gas or whatever it is that they use.
Yeah, they're not always lighting. I think Sam was probably being a bit of a gentleman early on this match. You know, Extinguisher hasn't had the best run. Probably wanted to give them a chance. And he, you know, put on a bit of a show. He used those lifting forks early on.
He did a really good job with those lifting forks.
Yeah.
He was carrying Extinguisher around the battle box.
I was worried the bots were going to have to be paused and separated again for a little bit there, but he managed to pull off the suplex using the edge of the arena.
Oh, very good suplex.
I was really hoping he would have just stayed upside down and sort of flamed Extinguisher, and he did a little bit.
Yeah.
Which was amazing to see, but I guess that's not really how you want to run your flames upside down. I'm sure that does bad stuff.
Probably. Sounds like it would just go into your own robot.
Yeah, it sounds like they might just cook the top of Gruff, which is maybe a little bit what happened.
Maybe.
I imagine Gruff has great thermal insulation.
You'd really hope so for such a hot robot.
Yeah, it is a spicy robot. But yeah, I think, you know, maybe this driving around with Extinguisher on top is what burnt those drives out.
Yeah, so Extinguisher lost their primary weapon, but then Gruff just burnt out. And as soon as Gruff was smoking even the littlest bit, Extinguisher got very excited.
Yeah, they were just doing their victory dance early on.
Pretty early on. I was like, this could still turn around. I wouldn't get too excited.
It looked like they were trying to... looked like they got so excited they were trying to, like, rush over to hit them again, but... or do some pushing, but they got so excited that maybe they couldn't drive over there.
Yeah.
I don't know. Traction on the battle box is a really hard thing.
Yeah, I have no concept of what it would be like. And then we found out that the team mascot is just his dad.
That was an interesting reveal.
Yeah.
I want the face reveal on the dad, please.
Yeah, me too.
He's been a spooky skeleton fireman the whole season.
Yeah, so congratulations to Extinguisher on their first win of the season.
Yeah, well done, John.
Yeah, nice work.
Taking out your teammate's teacher, no less.
Yes. Yeah, that was a fun little piece of trivia as well.
Speaking of teachers, we have the Battle of the Mentors here. Perfect Phoenix versus Adam 94.
Now, I don't think these are the mentors. Isn't Ray the mentor and these would be the mentorees?
Yes, this is what I mean.
Yeah, Perfect Phoenix versus Adam 94. Ray picked a side to stand on, probably only because Tyler is a small child and Adam 94 has a whole team. But
yeah, I don't think they need any help. I think Ray just got them going and they were going good, I'll tell you.
Yeah, this was a pretty entertaining match to watch.
I was nervous on the first hit when how far Perfect Phoenix popped up.
Yes.
Because if they're going vertical, that means that Adam 94 is delivering some serious energy.
Oh, yeah. And then there was a second hit and I wrote they tuned that. Perfect Phoenix tombstoned across the box.
Tombstoned?
Yeah.
Is that the verb now?
That's the verb where your giant bar when almost propels you across.
Embrace the chaos.
Yeah. So I wasn't worried about that as well. They ended up like hitting the screws and I thought they were going to go over or something or land the wrong way, but they came out.
The first time watching this, I was kind of surprised that perfect thing, because that Tyler was sort of going front on so many times. Watching it back the second time, I could kind of see that Tyler was trying to get around the sides.
Yeah.
But as he was turning to the side, his barb was contacting the front of Adam 94's weapon and just decided to go front on, I think.
Yeah. And what a good decision that was, because he destroyed that primary weapon on Adam 94. I've
never seen one of those dual disc vertical spinners so janked up like that.
Yeah, it was not okay.
No, it was a sick puppy.
Yeah. Yeah, this was a really entertaining match. And then in the end, Perfect Phoenix started smoking and they lost their primary weapon as well, and it just turned into a big push match. And Tyler is really good at push matches.
Yeah, he, you know, it was sort of even Stevens for a bit there, but then he managed to get around the back of them and actually slam them into the wall. Like,
yeah.
He's such a good driver.
He really is.
You cannot give him an inch because he'll take a mile.
That's it for sure. And I loved that even though throughout all of that, Tyler at the end was still like, I don't know who they're going to give this to. And he looked so nervous when it came to the judge's decision. He was like packing it.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's just really nice to see this kid who is so smart and so like into this sport be just completely unaware of how good he is. Like, I don't know. Like he's
very humble.
He's super humble. Well, I suppose he's 11, so that makes sense.
Yeah, no, it's good to see. I mean, there's some not so humble 11-year-olds out there. You'll meet them on the online games.
Oh, no, thanks.
Yeah, no, it's not good.
I will say though, Adam 94, their right hand man, who I think powers the weapon.
Yeah.
He's a very attractive man.
Oh, okay. Well, this is some new territory for bots. We're not going to make a ranking list. Don't worry.
I don't know. Just
I really enjoyed from Adam 94, and I'm sure this is where you've spotted that boy, on their walkout stance.
Oh, perfect stance when they get to the end of the tunnel.
They had
perfect
sort of pose. Like choreographed positions. And
it was like some anime shit.
It was a very cool team intro walkout.
Yeah, like everyone had their like those like symmetrical poses. It was amazing.
It's great. I can't wait to see more teams out of India. I followed so many in the last month actually on Instagram. There's so many Indian robot teams. I feel like I wonder what competitions are over there. I'm gonna have to investigate. I think it's up and coming.
Yeah, I would love to know more about that. I want to go to India and watch robots fight.
That's a good reason to go to India, right?
Right? At the end, though, Perfect Phoenix won, unanimous judge's decision.
Yeah, the damage was pretty hard. It was a bit scary because at the very end of the push match, right when the clock hit one, we saw smoke come out of Perfect Phoenix and it actually spit some sparks. I think one of those drives might have burned out, but, you know, they went the distance. All you got to last is 3 minutes.
Exactly. All you got to last is 3 minutes. And I loved when they were talking about how now Perfect Phoenix has a better score than Tombstone. And he's like, do you think Ray knows that? And he's like, you're going to tell Ray? And he's like, I think Ray already knows. And they shot to Ray and he's just like, this damn child.
this damn genius child. He's got it all over me. What have I created?
Would you like to say anything else on this match?
No.
All right.
No, that's about all I've got. Yeah, in between this match and the main event, which we're coming up to, they said some goodbyes. We didn't get to see Black Widow, who we mentioned earlier this episode. We didn't get to see Rampage. They also mentioned a fight with Mammoth versus Deadlift.
Yeah, in which Mammoth lost their primary weapon but ended up winning.
Interesting. Mammoth's still in it. They've still got some batteries, maybe.
Yeah, so we'll see if they...
They did say this would affect the rankings, and I have some theories. We have some theories.
Yeah, we'll talk about those in a minute.
But next match, we have Black Dragon versus Copperhead.
I just need to say very quickly, I will never get over how good Farouk looks in his all-black suit.
Oh, it's really good this year.
It's so powerful.
Whatever beard oil he's using.
It is.
They need to get that sponsorship on the TV because people will be buying it.
It's good. He's looking great.
Shout out to Farouk. Actually, he had probably my favorite call out of the season. Insert horns.
Wow, 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 wow. There you go. I did it for you.
Okay. Thank you. I don't have to find those sound effects now. The dragonology.
Oh, yes. This whole intro for Black Dragon was incredible.
How many dragons did he name? Like 5 or 6?
Oh, it was so good.
It was great. It went for so long and it was all about dragons and he said he had a PhD in dragonology. Cracked me up.
Oh, no, I did love that. And they versed Copperhead and I will say that I'm so in love with the art that they did on that weapon.
Oh, it was really cool.
It was so cool. Like, the dragon on one side, the snake head on the other side. It was sick. I was like, I love that. I love it when teams put that little extra touch on for their matches, and it makes it feel more important, and, like, they've got stakes in this one match, and I don't know. I just really like it.
It was super good, super clean artwork. Whoever did that on the Copperhead team, well done.
Yeah, very nice work. Black Dragon team look like they party hard.
You reckon they party hard?
I reckon they party hard.
I think the Brazilians are known for a good party, and I reckon they would be fun.
This match, though, this was such a slogfest.
It kind of, you know, it did remind me a little bit of Black Dragon versus Minotaur, in that they were up against the same style of weapon, but Copperhead is a very different bot to Minotaur. Minotaur drives the same way Black Dragon drives. When we saw that matchup, it was them circling each other. In this case, Copperhead took it slow. It looked like they were struggling to get traction at the start.
Yeah, they weren't moving at the very beginning, which I thought was going to be a major issue. And they honestly had drive problems throughout the whole match.
Yeah, it looks like their wheels weren't gripping the floor the way they probably wanted.
Yeah, I don't know. It was just, the driving was not that impressive from them.
I put down some points here of just how this went. Yeah, so the start, Copperhead had no traction, slow start. Black Dragon came in, hit them, got them going. Black Dragon took 2 big hits and got flipped upside down. And then to flip themselves over, this was an interesting choice. I really think this might have been a mistake. They decided to go head to head.
Yeah, I feel like, yeah, this was really hard to watch because they got some excellent first hits in. And then as soon as they got flipped upside down, instead of trying to go to a wall and self-right or something, yeah, they just tried to go for Copperhead's weapon. And that weapon is hectic.
It is really powerful. I think the thing, the decision-making was, is that they put their strongest, sturdiest egg beater weapon on Black Dragon. And so they were confident that they could shove that in the face of Copperhead. And we saw it not break, but that shrapnel will take your belts out. And that's what, they lost one and they're only at half power and they're on the back foot for the rest of the match then.
Yeah, it was really, but their driving was incredible throughout all of it. They really didn't let up. They, like, were still going head to head with Copperhead.
Even upside down.
Yeah, like the whole time. I will say, I loved, we finally got to see the Killsaws this season.
Oh, yeah, they popped up right under Copperhead.
Right under Copperhead. Perfect Killsaw use. I remember we all cheered when we got to see
it. We all cheered for the Yeah, we did all cheer for the Killsaws.
Because we haven't really seen them be used this season yet.
They looked great in slow-mo. I was looking at them earlier in the season, they look thicker and they look more deadly and they definitely do some damage. They cause some sparks. They look like they cut that tire up a bit.
Yeah. Copperhead got some amazing hits in. They threw them at one point into the driver's window directly at Black Dragon. That was pretty entertaining. Yeah, sent them into the screws. They broke the screws.
Yeah, it looks like when they sent them into the screws and Black Dragon sort of went on top of the screws, but Copperhead went right into them. We saw parts of those screws coming off, and then that one wasn't turning so well anymore after that. And I've never seen anyone break the screws yet on the side of the box. So props to you, Copperhead. It's a serious weapon.
Yeah, that weapon is terrifying. My question is, it's called an egg beater. Has anyone tried to beat eggs with them yet?
I think you would immediately, you would drop the eggs in and what you would get out is just meringue.
Oh, yes.
And so, yeah, I imagine they would be quite effective.
I want to see that.
The problem is, your meringue has a lot of shell in it and it's not good to eat.
But is it pulverized to such fine grain that you don't notice?
This is also possible. Maybe it gets you the calcium you need in your diet. No, I can't imagine any of these boots. These bots doing very good cooking. You know, the best one probably Railgun Max from last season.
Yeah.
Now I think they know how to make a good meringue.
Yeah, I reckon they could make a killer omelette.
Yeah.
Killer omelette. And then we'll get Hijinx to flip the omelette over.
Yes.
Not Hijinx, I mean Hydra. We'll get Hydra to flip the omelette.
Yeah, they need a spatula attachment. This is what I mean.
They do.
Especially for huge.
This one went the distance, though. This one really, like, neither bots gave up. Black Dragon are such a tough, hearty bot.
Yeah, they take the hits, even on the backside, from a weapon like Copperhead, and they just keep going. The inside of that robot must be so built and resilient. It is incredible that they can go flying in the air after a hit like that. And you can't even see marks on the armor. Like,
yeah.
I mean, I'm sure you can. It's incredible, the hits they take and keep driving.
Yeah, they are such a super tough bot. And I kind of felt like towards the end there, first time watching it, I didn't really think that much of it. But on the second time, I feel like Copperhead at the very end were kind of crab walking a little bit.
It was a bit confusing because there was 45 seconds on the clock and I think they sort of edited it out. It really didn't seem like 45 seconds went by in real life.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was hard. In one of those shots, they didn't kind of show it long enough, but to my eye, it looked like one of their drives was out, and if Black Dragon didn't decide to back off, and so the ref didn't start a count out, but possibly, maybe they would have started a count out.
Yeah, I feel like they were not showing any controlled movement.
Having said that, I think it's the kind of match you want to go to a judge's decision.
Oh, absolutely.
And I can see why Copperhead won it.
Yeah, Copperhead really smashed them up.
Well done, Copperhead. Well done, Black Dragon. I'm sure we're both going to see you in the bracket. And should we talk about the bracket now?
Yeah, let's talk about this bracket because we have some things to say.
Well, we don't have too much to say, but we have a list in front of us for the 32 spots in the bracket. And we made it up actually a week ago now or more.
I think it was more.
Yeah, I think it was about 2 weeks ago. We had sort of picked who was going to be in this bracket. And we've only made one revision after this week's episode. So, I'll just read it out now?
Just read it out,
here
I
go. I'm going to read it out now.
I'll butt in when I need to say something.
Okay. Number one. These are in no particular order whatsoever.
Yeah, so maybe don't say number one. Letter J.
Mad Catter. Black Dragon. Bloodsport, Beta, Hydra, Lockjaw, Uppercut, Valkyrie, Copperhead, Malice, Jackpot. Whoa!
Oh, Jackpot's going to be pretty high seed, I reckon.
Definitely in there. I think all these robots, for sure. Tombstone.
I'm still nervous about whether he's such like established robot. If he's not in it, it's going to be weird. But I feel like there's a chance that he might not be.
I think there is no chance that you can have a competition without Ray Billings in it because everyone wants to fight Tombstone. You know, it's like if you didn't put Bite Force in it 1 year.
Well, they're not in it this year.
I know, I'm just teasing. Endgame. Now, we had Gruff, but now I'm thinking maybe Gruff isn't going to be in it after this disappointing loss to Extinguisher.
Yeah, and it wasn't even like a very spectacular loss in any means.
I think it's hard out here for a flame bot, and it maybe just hasn't impressed the selection committee. They will probably want to see more reliability, is what I'm thinking.
Yeah, but at the same time, has Gruff kind of become a favorite?
For me, in our house, yes.
Yeah.
We love Gruff. But just some of the comments, I can't remember the exact comment, but the way they were talking about Gruff after that loss from Extinguisher made me think maybe they're going to substitute them out. I think they were looking to be in the bracket.
But now I feel like it's just, they just haven't done it.
Yeah, this is the one change that I think that they'll make. After seeing that Mammoth got an unaired win against Deadlift, that makes me think maybe they're going to put Mammoth in.
Yeah, originally we didn't have Mammoth in our list, but I think that they're in for a spot now.
I feel like the TV gave us some clues. They were like, ooh, maybe Gruff's not going to be in it. And with Mammoth, they were like, ooh, maybe Mammoth will be in it. And so that's the one substitution we had here. Continuing down the list at number 15, we have Hypershock, Sawblaze, Scorpios, Whiplash, Rubot, Witch Doctor, Huge, Rotator, Shatter, Slammo, Sub-Zero, Gigabyte, Captain Shred, Fusion, Perfect Phoenix, Tantrum, Kraken, and Hijinx.
Now, do you still think Captain Shred's going to be in it?
I do. I think they're an old school team with a lot of fans. A lot of these teams, even though they don't have the best scores at the end of this season...
Well, I mean, Witch Doctor's in there, have only just won a match.
Exactly. But these are teams that have been in it every year. They have huge followings and they always put on great shows. You know, all of Witch Doctor matches have been entertaining. Yeah, I'm pretty confident that this is the list and we'll just have to wait and see.
Yeah, I have a feeling that Captain Shred might not be in it, but I can't think of who they'd put in instead.
No, it was kind of hard to get down to it, and this is our most likely picks.
Yeah, so I don't have anything else to add. I think that's true.
Very fair. Well, that brings us to the end of the episode.
Yeah, we did it! Woohoo!
Woo!
We're very proud of us. It was a rough weekend, so we're very late. Again, apologies. But that's just how it is sometimes.
I'm excited for this bracket to start, Tigo.
I'm nervous for this bracket to start.
Are you excited, dear listeners? Let us know. You can email us at botsbotsbotspodcast@gmail.com.
Yeah, or you can just talk to us on Instagram as well. We're botsbotsbots.podcast on that.
Yeah, you know, you can find us on the Facebook if that's your social media of choice.
We also have a Twitter. We don't really use it.
Look, I don't understand Twitter.
I have never understood Twitter.
One day it'll make sense to us, maybe.
I don't know about that. It's been around for long enough that I should be, like, if I'm going to be into it, I'm going to be into it, but I'm not.
The train has sailed.
Yeah, the train has sailed.
And we'll see you next week.
We'll see you this week.
Oh, we'll see you this week.
It's been Bots, Bots, Bots. Thank you very much. Bye.
Goodbye now.